This is Luke 1, 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a little town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph and the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and wondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God, and now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
Luke 2, 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their towns to be registered. Jesus also went from the town of Nazareth to Galilee to Judea, the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them at the inn.
Luke 2:8-20. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary, Joseph, and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them.
And these words from the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. and the life was the light of all people. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. He was the true light, which enlightens everyone coming into this world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. It is interesting that tonight our Jewish brothers and sisters are celebrating the first night of Hanukkah, which is a celebration very typical of Judaism because throughout its history, the people of Judah and Israel have been tormented and beat upon by so many other nations. And each time they rise up, they have celebrations to remember how God has been good to them. And tonight, they are remembering, finally, the overcoming of the Roman Empire's occupation of Israel through the struggles and the trials and ultimately the deaths of so many of their members, because God was with them and saved them and kept them alive through a great purge. In the same way, we are celebrating the coming of God into our lives in Jesus. And interestingly, I was sitting here and I had a picture in my mind of, remember seeing that little boy in Aleppo in the news, the one who was all black on one side had just been sitting there stunned. And I was listening to the readings, which we all know almost by heart, but I tried to listen to them from his perspective. What a child in that situation would hear were he to hear the readings that we heard. The promise of salvation, the promise of freedom, the promise of good life, the promise of eternity for a child who had absolutely no hope. If there's a message, I think, this Christmas in our world, it is one that you can draw from the Gospels very easily. We all know all the stories about the blind man being cured and about the deaf man who was cured and the widow's son who was raised to life and all the miracles walking on the waters and saving people here and there and the lepers are being cleansed. And if you listen closely to those miraculous stories, Jesus says at the end of almost every one of the cures, your faith has saved you. And I've always wondered what really that means. I've had to ask myself, does my faith really save me? And I guess on an intellectual level it does, because when I say my faith, I can say what I believe, which means what I trust, what perhaps I use as a backdrop for my life, all those things that I have selectively chosen to accept as a part of my life. However, if you look at each one of those stories, every person who approaches Jesus approaches perhaps in faith, but they come with an expectation. The leper comes to be cured. The blind man wants to see. The widow wants her son to live again. The broken, the lame, they all come to him with an expectation. As you and I come to God with expectation. And that's a very good thing. We call that hope. In the old days, when I was growing up, we used to have three prayers we said every day in school. I went to a Catholic school, and so we knelt on our chairs, and we would say an act of faith, an act of hope, and an act of love. Simple prayers that we repeated every day to remind us, and it did, I can still say those prayers. Remind us of really our place in the world and our call as people who believe in God. And hope is the one that I never really understood. Because what is hope? Hope is an expectation. I hope that everybody gets home safely tonight. Did any of you slide around on your way up here tonight? Be careful going home. I hope that something good happens for the people who are starving. And we see little pieces of that taking place, especially around the holidays. I hope that everyone tonight can sleep in peace. That's a great hope. I come to God in my prayers with an expectation that God is going to do something. And I expect that something is going to take place that somehow reflects my faith and gives me a foundation to be loving charity to the world I touch. The challenge, however, is to remember that hope is not getting what we want. Hope is not receiving what we came to expect. What would happen to the gospel stories if Jesus said, "Your faith has saved you, now go," and they went back the same way they came? Where would the miracle be? What would be so different from maybe some of our own experiences? You have great needs, you see great pain, you look for something to happen. And you give all you can possibly give, and nothing happens. How do we live in hope? I think what the gospel teaches me, and why I looked at that little boy, and that image is burned in my brain. I think hope is this, and I've said this before to our congregation, but it needs repeating again and again, especially tonight. Hope is not getting what you want. Hope is not having your expectations fulfilled so that you can say, "I do believe in God." Hope is that whatever happens, we will find a way to make life come from it. Hope is no matter what situation faces us, we have the possibility of turning that into something life-giving to the people we care about. Hope is living with that, I guess that grace is the best word I can use, that grace that reminds us that the possibilities that lie ahead of us we don't see. And all the expectations we have no real vision of what that could be. We have ideas, but we have no idea how it's going to turn out. So hope is living in that expectation, but being open to understand that whatever happens, however it turns out, whatever occurs, whatever tragedy, whatever joy, we will find a way to make it life-giving, not only for ourselves, but for the world. That's hope. Hope is not Disney. I think that's why that place is always crowded. People are looking for a little hope. But that's not it. Jesus came into the world, and some people accept him as somehow a mission from God. Other people don't. It makes no difference. But for those of us who are looking to know as best we can how God fits into our lives with all of our details, with all the things that befall us, with all the circumstances that we can control and all the ones that we can't, and those of us who look at the world around us and feel somewhat helpless, This day is for us, because this day we are reminded that God is as present to us as we choose to allow God to be present. And the only way we will ever experience that is if we look at our lives, look at the details of our lives, and see not a trial, not a pain, not a struggle, but see an invitation to somehow create new life. In doing that, we are doing exactly what God, Creator, Jesus, Savior, Spirit among us, really does. That's how we see the face of God. That's how we know God is present. And so I pray tonight, I hope you join with me, that that kind of hope will somehow infect the world and all the people of the world, so that there is no child, no elderly person, no person living on this planet who doesn't have hope and know that it is possible to change whatever happens to be a life-giving force. Nothing can stop it except us. May God bless us all with that true spirit of hope. Amen.